Okay, so today we are talking about human suffering. Up to this point, we've talked about the origins of human rights, the origins of the ideas of human rights. We've talked about the history of slavery. And today we're in part three. We're going to talk about genocide. So make sure you have your note-taking guide in front of you. We're on page 9, looking at the top of the page. It says your goal. And on the slide, match up on the slide, you see your goal for this subunit is to be able to compare the impact of genocide on different ethnic groups. Now, as we go through this lecture, I want you to pause the podcast as you need to, if you need extra time to write things down. Moving on to the next slide. We're defining genocide. What is genocide? Genocide is an attempt to exterminate a group of people. It's the simplest definition we can give. Exterminate or terminate means to end. So we're trying to end a group of people, end them by killing them, killing all of them. Next slide, the Holocaust. Holocaust is defined as the mass killing of Jews and other civilians. This was done by the German Nazis during World War II, the period from 1939 to 1945. This is not the only genocide in the world, but we study it frequently in our schools because it is a prime example of genocide. Move to the next slide. Why do we study the Holocaust? All right, here are several examples. Fit them into your notes as best you can. I know there's not a lot of space, so remember to abbreviate wherever you can. First, we study the Holocaust because it's an example of genocide. If we're going to study something, we've got to pick an example to focus on. Second, we study the Holocaust as an example of our fragile civilization. We like to think that we are civilized, and in the 21st century, we've got so many skills, and our society has so many different levels and ways of working things out that we don't need to worry about people being cruel to one another. But it still happens. The Holocaust happened in World War II. Genocides happened before World War II, and genocides continue to happen today. Which leads us to our final reason for studying the Holocaust. It's an example of why we study history. We want to learn from the past so that we might not repeat it. If we understand why the Holocaust happened, or why it was allowed to get out of hand the way it was, maybe we can learn to avoid it in the future and stop something like that before it happens. Next slide. Okay, this next slide is just a wall of words. I don't want you to worry about writing anything down. Just read it, follow along as I read it to you, and we're going to be thinking about what it's saying. Think about what is the point behind this. Soon the mass of fainting humanity is led to the clean foyer of death. Disrobe quickly, take a shower, and you will be fed. Food, food, the hungry mass of disoriented humanity awakens, runs, and fights to get into the chamber of gas. The heavy door closes, and the cyclone dropped. Soon the parents choke and turn blue. Later, the children turn rigid with death. The people become a twisted load of intertwined limbs and heads glued with blood. When the human pulp is ready for the works, Sonderkommando, quickly pull the bodies apart. Peel the gold from the mouths, and the remains are taken to the open pit where the bones are cleaned with fire. And the fat is drained for human soap. So I want you to think about that. What kind of images that brings to you. And in class, we're going to discuss your interpretation of that. So keep that in mind. If you need to, jot down a couple of notes of your reflection. Otherwise, we'll talk about it in class. Okay, moving to the next slide. Okay, the next few slides are a quote from Adolf Hitler in 1939 at the very beginning of the war when Nazis were just starting to invade Poland. And remember, there's a question on your sheet that says, how does Hitler use these examples to justify what he's doing? So keep that in mind as you're reading this, as you're listening to this. He said, "Our strength consists in our speed and in our brutality. Genghis Khan led millions of women and children to slaughter with premeditation and a happy heart. History sees him solely the founder of a state. It's a matter of indifference to me what a weak Western European civilization will say about me. I have issued the command, and I'll have anybody who utters but one word of criticism executed by a firing squad. That our war aim does not consist in reaching certain lines, but in the physical destruction of the enemy. Accordingly, I have placed my death head formations in readiness, for the present only in the east, with orders to them to send to death mercilessly and without compassion men, women, and children of Polish derivation and language. Only thus shall we gain the Lebensraum which we need. Who, after all, speaks today of the annihilation of the Armenians?" All right, so taking a look at that quote, we see he mentions Genghis Khan. Do you know who Genghis Khan was? Genghis Khan was a Mongol leader. Back before Russia had its empire, Genghis Khan was leading the Mongols to develop the largest empire in history. It covered most of Russia, down into China. They ruled. But they did it in a way that was completely brutal. Every few months they would sweep in and they would kill men, women, and children, and they would take what was in the village, and then they'd go away and they'd come back. But ultimately, when history writes this, we can't help but say, wow, he created the biggest empire. So that's one of the things that Adolf Hitler is looking to. He's saying that ultimately history is going to look at what he accomplished and not what he did to get there. And then next, he's talking about what his war aim, what is his goal in this war? What is he trying to justify? He's trying to justify physical destruction of the enemy. That sounds a lot like genocide. Not just trying to get them to move, not just trying to get them to change their mind, change their ideas, change their government. He's trying to physically destroy them. In 1939, specifically, he's destroying people of Polish derivation and language. So that's not just the race, but people that speak Polish. He's going to wipe that entire race and culture off the map. "Only thus shall we gain the Lebensraum." Do you remember what Lebensraum is from when we studied World War II? Lebensraum is the living space. The Nazis wanted to spread out, expand into the rest of Europe, and Lebensraum was the name for that extra territory that they were going to take from the countries around them. And Hitler says, "Who, after all, speaks today of the annihilations of the Armenians?" The Armenians were victims of a genocide years before, and even today, we don't talk about it a lot. A lot of people do not remember. It's one of those things that just gets swept aside. We talk about other things. We talk about pop stars and music and movies, and we don't remember. So you're going to learn a little bit more about the Armenians later today. Moving on to the next slide, we find out the final solution. What was Adolf Hitler's final solution? So in 1941, the Nazis began referring to something called the final solution. They were no longer trying to move the Jews out of their way. They were trying to destroy them entirely. So when they first started out, they were putting Jews into ghettos. They were limiting their rights. They were putting rules on them. And at one point, there was even a plan to move them to an island. Just get them out of the country, whatever you have to do. But ultimately, they wanted to fix this, quote, problem once and for all. And the final solution was, what do you think it was? Genocide. Genocide was the final solution, killing all the Jews. So in 1933, the Nazis began rounding up Jews from all over Europe. This is the beginnings of the concentration camps. They weren't in full force just yet, but they were relocating Jews. They would tell the Jews that they're just going to be resettled in the East, resettled in areas like Ukraine. And they could pack up a few belongings to take with them. It was unfair, but you have to understand the Jewish people, especially the Jewish people that were Germans living in Germany, they didn't agree with the government. The government was abusing their rights as citizens, but who was going to believe that they were going to abuse their rights as humans? Well, they would soon find out the truth. And for those of you writing these notes, this is down at the bottom of page 9, at the top of page 10. The Jews were being shipped to concentration camps. They were starved, abused, experimented on, and murdered. The camps killed thousands of people each day. One camp alone could kill as much as 20,000 people in a day. There's a story of an American intelligence officer who was going to report to the president what he thought was going on in these camps and what was the severity of it. How bad was it? And somebody asked him outside the door, said, "Well, what are you going to tell the president?" He said, "Well, we've got estimates that these camps are killing about 20,000 people a day." And this guy said, "No, don't tell the president that. He will not believe you. Nobody's going to believe that a concentration camp is killing 20,000 people per day. Tell them 2,000 people." And the intelligence officer said, "Well, why? Why would I tell him that? I actually have evidence that there's 20,000 people a day being killed. The reason you're not going to tell them that is they're going to think you're crazy and they won't believe any of it. 2,000 people a day is horrible. It's outrageous. And it's outrageous enough that the president will do something. 20,000 people a day is going to think you're crazy and dismiss your argument altogether." So moving to the next slide, we have a picture of a gas chamber. And I've placed in the middle of this picture a picture of the humans, the people, the men, the fathers, the brothers, the bankers, the bakers, the carpenters, the engineers that were placed in this gas chamber and killed. So at first they burned the bodies. But there were so many of them, they began cremating them. Next slide. Look at this family portrait. Portrait of generations and generations of Jewish people. And look, you see that these are real people. And that's the important thing to think as we look through these pictures of Holocaust victims. It's easy to see them just as gaunt figures that were never like you and me, but they were. These people were systematically destroyed. Look at the picture of the ovens. What's that you see at the very back of the ovens? See those spiny things? What do you think those are? Those are ribs. Ribs of human bodies that have been burned. Finally, we have an aerial shot taken from an airplane of Auschwitz in 1944. Auschwitz was one of the larger concentration camps. Do you see the smoke? What's the smoke from? They're burning the bodies. And it was amazing that the towns nearby that saw the smoke, that smelled the vapors, didn't have an idea of what was going on. And a lot of us want to say, okay, the German people, they must have known, they must have all been in on it together. The truth is, some of them had ideas, some of them knew, but the vast majority of the German citizens were led to believe that it was not that bad. And it's easy to lead somebody to believe that when you don't want to believe that. You don't want to believe what's going on. How could this be possible? How could you be killing 20,000 people a day? So turning to the next slide. It says there's 500,000 gypsies killed, 250,000 disabled persons killed, 6 million Jews killed. Make sure you write down these numbers. These are important. And the people that were killed, again, the Holocaust, mainly Jews, 6 million Jews, 6 million Jews. Jews were the ones that were killed far and above any other group. But the Nazis were shooting for a perfect society for what they determined they wanted. And that meant if you were disabled, you were not going to be part of this society. If you were blind, if you couldn't walk right, if you had trouble hearing, if you were a Jehovah's Witness or a homosexual or a gypsy or mentally disabled, or you were homeless or a writer or a journalist or a criminal, they were going to kill you. Even when the reports came back about the true nature of the camps, people refused to believe that it had happened. How could anyone try to systematically kill so many people? Jews were still being loaded into boxcars thinking they were being resettled. Even the Jews that were being carried off to these camps, a lot of them didn't believe that it was anything more than a government that was moving around the Jewish people unfairly. Okay. This next slide has a picture of a Nazi officer loading Jews onto boxcars. Boxcars that would normally be used to carry cattle. And they're loading the Jews in a lot like cattle. And remember, two questions I have on the screen there. Why do we study this today? And why is it important to understand? Remember that. Now here's a poem. This poem is by Martin Niemöller. A lot of times this is written as titled, First They Came for the Socialists. Sometimes it comes without a title. But just sit back, look at the pictures, and read the poem. It says, First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. So the idea of that poem is what? Why are we looking at this poem? What is the idea that he's sending to us? Think about that. We'll talk about it more in class. Moving on to the last slide. On this last slide, it has some instructions for the genocide packet. This packet, I have a few copies in the classroom. There's also a packet at the bottom of this web page, and you can open it up and just look at it online. You don't need to do a group report. I'm going to do that only in select classes, but you're going to find out the details of different genocides around the world. So look in your packet on pages 9, 10, 11, 12. There's the Native American genocide, the Armenian genocide, the Ukrainian genocide, etc. I want you to look at this packet and give me a brief rundown of who did this, who was it done to, where did this happen, when did it happen, and what was done to the victims. If you want an extra 5 points extra credit, you can do a small map off to the side in your notes, a map of where this place is in the world. For example, Armenia, Ukraine, Native American, where is that? Where is all this happening? So this is not a group project, despite what the slide says. I just need you to write down these details. If you would like 20 points extra credit, you can do page 13, which is a Venn diagram comparing the Holocaust with two other genocides. Now, ultimately, on the test, Whether you use page 13 or not, you will need to be able to compare the Holocaust to at least one other genocide. So think about what we've just learned and compare it. So what was similar from one genocide to the next? This is something you will need to complete on page 14. It's a practice for the test, but you are going to need to write an extended definition, at least 6 sentences, comparing the Holocaust to at least one other genocide. And remember, some review for writing an extended definition. I know we're still working on this, but I need you to give in as many details as you can that relate to other things we've studied. So, for example, keywords from this unit. What are some keywords we've already covered in this unit? We've covered human rights. If you can mention something about human rights, that would be perfect. If you can mention slavery, maybe there's a comparison to slavery that you could put in there. Maybe you can mention part of industry. You could mention part of Adolf Hitler. That's a key word. Lebensraum, Genghis Khan. Okay, these are just suggestions, just ideas. Make sure you put in some type of date, some time frame, so I know when this happened, where it happened. Honestly, 6 sentences could go by very quickly, as long as you're giving me enough detail about these places. But remember, the ultimate purpose of this particular extended definition is to compare genocide with the Holocaust and another genocide from the packet. If you have any questions, email me at david.fields@sanjuan.edu or mrfieldsclass@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.